Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were.
Bonjour.
Ah, bonjour. Ça va?
Ça va.
Ooh, no.
Mais
what?
Je ne comprends pas le monde.
What?
Je déteste.
You have lost our entire French fan base. They're offended. They don't understand.
But I just gained an entire French Canadian fan base.
And I lost them.
Easy come, easy go. Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of Laser Graves. I am your co-host, DK Wimmer.
I am Lord of the Dogs, Mariah Rose Wimmer.
Oh, yeah, you're bringing it back. Okay, well, this week we've got a fun one, a classic, probably one of the more mainstream ones we've done. And we'll get into it, but I guess we should check in with each other. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you? I'm doing well.
I'm good. I went thrifting today.
We did go thrifting. Okay, so let's backpedal here. We live in New Mexico. We used to live in Wyoming. So we know what winter is actually like. But in New Mexico, everybody panics if it's cold.
Freak out.
It's a full meltdown. I mean,
it's like the equivalent of if you saw one cricket or grasshopper and yelled, "The plague is coming." That's kind of what I kind of get the impression New Mexicans are like with snow.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they understand. Because it seems like everybody we encounter here seems to think that we have entered into some sort of end of the world scenario, but in fact it's not. So this ties into us thrifting today because you were let out of work early because there was some snow.
Yeah, well, I had to get back because I commute an hour to a different town. So,
and were the roads a terror?
No, they were normal, like a normal day. However, it was really bad where I was at, so I was kind of surprised that it cleared up.
Did you slide at any point?
No.
Okay.
I didn't. But I got back early, and so the girls were in school, so you and I met up and went thrifting together.
We did. And we actually met up. It was like a rendezvous.
It
at a thrift
was.
Store.
Like, kids are in school. Let's go thrifting.
You drove your car. I drove mine. We met at a thrift store.
It was cool. It was a good day. I'm going to put it that way. I did find another copy of Scary Stories. So I did find
it. I didn't even see it. So you kind of were like a covert.
Right. I put it under my shirt and came in. I like just putting on a little weight. And it was a copy of it. No. But it was part one, which is hard to find. I usually find like part three or something. So that was good.
Okay.
So I found the first book. I found an original VHS copy of Road Warrior, which I was very excited about.
And more importantly, you found a VHS copy of what?
Well, really for you, because I'm a good husband. This is husband of the year right here.
Is it for me?
It is. Oh, it is. I found New Kids on the Block. Was it Hanging Tough?
No, it's Hangin' Tough.
Oh, Hangin' Tough. Yeah. So there you go. There's your rainy day VHS when I'm gone. But the score of the day, I'm going to have to call it. Score of the year, of the decade.
Whoa. Calm down.
Easily one of the greatest scores I've ever had was sitting at one of the thrift stores on a little shelf was a bright purple plastic lunch pail.
This is not a
good one. I was like, huh? And I noticed stickers all over it, and there were Garbage Pail Kid stickers on it. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And so I asked, you know, it was like behind the counter, so can I see that? She grabbed it, set it down, and it had you remember Mad Balls from the 80s?
There was the screaming faces on the balls.
It was a lunch ball, or it was a lunch pail of those, but it had Garbage Pail stickers. And already I was like, is this mine? And She said, be careful, there's something in it. And I thought, no way. And I opened it up.
And it was spiders.
No, it was the mother load. It was like, you remember on Pulp Fiction, every time they open it and it just turns to like this gold hue and you never actually see what's in it? That's what it was like. It was just this glare came at me and it was about 600 plus original 80s Garbage Pail Kid cards plus a bunch of extra stuff shoved in there. And I could not believe what was in front of me because I've collected those for years and this was like the mother load.
What was more exciting was as we were standing in line, I don't know if you saw because you were so focused on the Garbage Pail Kid cards, and the checkout lady, she was checking out somebody else and she kept staring at you. And I was like, what is that woman doing? Because she just kept looking and looking and looking at you, even though she was dealing with another customer. And then when you finally came up, she was extremely jealous. And
she was like getting in on my business. Yeah, she's like, do you mind? And just opened it. I told you later, it reminded me of that skit on SNL with the Target lady. Like, oh, where'd you get that? Let me see. It was a little invasive because it was now mine. I was buying it.
Well, you were in the process of making it yours. But it kind of interfering.
It reminded me of, I don't think I mentioned this. You knew this. Reminded me of that one time at another thrift store when I found a couple copies of Scary Stories. And that checkout lady was like, oh, I've been looking everywhere for these. And even though I hoard them, I was like, well, good luck, because this is mine. That's how I was. Even though I knew there was going to be doubles and stuff in that Garbage Pail Kids collection, I was like, well, cool. Anyway, can I have those? And I just left.
Well, I mean, I can't really defend what you did to the Scary Stories girl. But with this lady, she was a little eager and, like, rightfully so. I was happy to have escaped with your haul.
Yeah, I know. I was like, tone it down. She called over another employee.
Yeah, that was weird. But he didn't even know what it was.
Yeah. Yo, he was a youngin'.
He was a Generation Z.
Is there a such thing?
Yeah, yeah. I read about
it. That's hilarious because it's like a double entendre with them being zombies on their cell phones.
There's Gen X, which you are.
Yes.
Because you're older.
And I grew up on Christian Slater.
Okay. It's a weird place to be.
It's Gen X.
I am a millennial.
Yes, because you grew up on Paul Abdul.
Okay. I don't have anything. I thought I had something funny
to
say.
Yeah, I was waiting for like a witty comeback and you just really dropped the ball.
Drew a full blank there, so I just stared at you.
Honey horn.
And then there is Gen Y? Or is it Gen Y, then millennials? Anyway.
It's like a Gen, yeah.
There's X, Y, Z, and millennials. And
I don't know. I don't get any of that.
I don't care. But I do care today, and this is probably proof that I'm getting old, but we were going through the line at the grocery store, and we were buying a bottle of wine, and the lady carded me, and she was shocked that I was born in the 80s. She said for sure she thought I was born in the 90s.
Yeah, you are getting old. That's an old person thing to
say.
I'm
putting it here, though, so that I can both feel young and old simultaneously.
Yeah, because you had a little extra bounce in your step as you left.
I just felt like I needed to put that here and now so that I could remember it when I'm feeling old someday.
Document it for everybody to know.
Yeah, and also, you know, just evidence that one person once thought I was a decade younger than I am.
All right. Well, with that, let's get started on this movie.
Okay.
A childhood classic, a wonderful film. Something we love, Return to Oz.
Did you watch this as a child?
I don't know. That's the craziest thing, is this is one of the few films I'm really good about linking memories with time periods and stuff with my childhood. And I have no recollection of when I first saw this. And I feel like I saw it forever ago, but I could have seen it when I was an adult. I have no clue.
Yeah, same here. I could have been 12. I could have been, I don't know. What year did you say it came out? 84?
84.
Okay.
85.
I wasn't 5'4", but whatever.
Yeah, I didn't see when it first came out, but it's just
weird. I
don't
remember it.
Because I normally know. Anyway, doesn't matter. So, directed by Walter Merck. It was the only thing he ever did.
Merck or Murch?
Murch, sorry.
Spell it.
M-U-R-C-H.
Oh, Okay, like Lurch, but with an M.
Yeah. Anyway, it was all he ever did, and I was kind of shocked because I thought it was a really good film.
Was he a director previously?
No.
This was his first go?
Yeah, he worked on some big films, like The Godfather, I think, or something like that, doing like sound engineering or something
like
that.
But wasn't this presented by Disney?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal.
So he knew somebody, he had somebody killed.
Yeah, no clue how he scored this one.
Okay.
And then there was a international casting call, hundreds and hundreds of candidates to try and get the lead role, who ended up being a very young and super adorable...
Feruza Balk, yes.
The one and only Kraft.
Aw, Water Boy.
Oh, yeah. Foosball's a devil.
She didn't say that.
I know, I just forgot about that movie. she does great. She is so good in this film.
Yes.
I mean, she really carries this film, but I don't get what... I mean, obviously...
She has to carry it because she's working mostly with, like, puppets.
Right. I also get why there was backlash immediately, because it was not your, like, super classic Hollywood starlets and everything's fine and dandy and the world has no real problems. This was dark. This was a little gritty, and this was very of the times of 80s child fantasies with The Neverending Story and The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and stuff. Like, these were darker films, and I think that's why our generation... really is drawn to them, is because they were a little scary. It reminds me of the documentary that I did for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. There's a scene at the end, I'm not going to give anything away, but there's just a conversation about how Alvin Schwartz, the author of Scary Stories, wanted children to be a little scared because it's okay for kids to be a little uncomfortable and be aware that things do die, things are scary, and not just constantly be sheltered.
And although it's kind of frustrating as a parent when something gives your kid a nightmare and you have to get up with them in the middle of the night, I'm like, thanks a lot, jerk director.
Yeah, but I also want our kids to be adjusted and not be like, I can't handle the world. You know,
we'll just buy them a bubble.
I just think that this is a classic kind of 80s fantasy, and it's dark, and so I'm sure that was a huge flop. I didn't look up the budget, but it must have been enormous, because this film, especially the sets, were over the top.
I wondered as we were watching about the chandelier budget, because we recently bought lighting for our house, and it was like not cheap to buy a new light fixture, and we didn't buy a chandelier, it's not really our flavor, but as we were watching, I just was like, there's a chandelier. Anyway, so they had a chandelier budget, and it was probably more than the cost of our home.
Yeah, they had a big budget, I'm sure. And
I like big budgets, and I cannot lie.
I just let you do that.
No, you just stared at me with judgment.
Well, I kind of thought, should I edit that out in post or leave it?
Yeah, for sure. I feel embarrassed.
Okay, well, we'll let you be pleasantly surprised with what I decide.
I could see, though, before you continue, I feel like I can understand why the generation prior to this one, you know, the ones who grew up in the original, would not respond well to this version of Oz, because it is completely different.
It's following the book. I mean, that's really the biggest issue, is that it was basically like, I don't care what happened with the first film.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use the name to make a film, but we're going back to the source material, and kind of gave the middle finger to the first film and said, she's going to be more like the book. The characters are going to look like the illustrations from the book. And I appreciate that. I know that it has gained huge cult status over the years.
Yes.
But when it came out, it was a massive flop, and critics just panned it. And it. Critics are so critical. And I think that I'm sure it lost a lot of money. But over the years, it's also become a really precious film for so many people.
So Mr. Merch was just investing in the future.
Sure. Yeah. He was ahead of the game.
Should be made.
Yeah, so let's get into it. It opens with a very young Dorothy Gale, which is more like the book. I think she was this age in the book. However, it would from the moment you watch this film, you're gonna be scratching your head as to why Judy Garland went back in time.
Yeah, why she turned from a full-blown woman into a child.
And at this rate, she is, by the end of the movie, going to be in a diaper.
Yes.
Because she's doing the Benjamin Button. So anyway,
yes.
We realize that we're in for a different kind of film. This is 6 months into the future, after the tornado, yeah. after the whole Oz incident, and she is really not getting over it. She's reminiscing about the greatest time of her life.
She keeps talking to Aunt Em about the magical land of Oz.
And they are not having any part of it. They're like, dude, we got to build a house.
Last house is gone. It's
yeah, we've got better things to do with our time than to listen to this nonsense. She won't let it go. And then she's walking around and she finds a key that she thinks is from Oz.
Because she's collecting chicken eggs, and the chicken that won't lay an egg is named either Galina, Walina, or Balina.
Right,
can you be the deciding voice?
Balina.
Okay.
Yeah. And so
that's an unfortunate name.
Yeah. I would have liked Galina because it would have reminded me of our first art history professor.
The Russian.
Oh, she was so great.
Yeah, she was lovely.
Anyway, okay.
Wait, never mind. No,
I'm not going to go down that.
That was a tease.
Anyway, she finds this key, and I think aunt and uncle are like, look, dude, enough's enough. They find that there is somebody who's willing to help, a doctor. They don't have the money, but they're going to go ahead and comp them or whatever. And the uncle's like, no, I can't do that. But they
were getting a loan from a family
member.
Yeah,
or whatever. And they decide to go ahead and take them. So the aunt, who is played by
Piper Laurie,
Catherine Martell from
Twin Peaks.
I don't know
why I sang that.
Instantly, I'm like, I don't trust a word you say. I don't trust anything. You're trying to collect money from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You're scandalous. And I have a hard time right away taking her as a loving aunt. And I think she's just like going to do bad things. Also, side story, I showed you recently a photo. I had no clue Piper Laurie is like an old Hollywood starlet.
She was like from the old timey days, the 1950s, the Abraham Lincoln actress. She has lovely eyebrows and a gorgeous nose with obsessed with noses because I draw them, and not just noses, but I like
drawing.
Art
gallery.
Artist who draws
this is my
noses.
Latest body of work, and it's just large drawings of noses.
I would like to do that, I think, yeah. But she has a good nose.
So Catherine Martell is the aunt in this, and she carts her up and she takes her off, and it's all very disturbing right away. And she arrives at this really cool kind of Victorian mansion that's the doctor's office, which has an incredible set design. The interior is like, very much of the book, but
fancy schmancy.
It's also that kind of Art Nouveau, Werner Vorkstadt kind of design element, you know. Well, it is. I mean, especially when it gets later, you'll start to see it show up even more in the dress design and stuff. But really cool. She drops her off and is pretty much cool.
Yeah, she drops Dorothy off and is like, well, okay, I had a 5-minute consult with this doctor who ran an ad in the paper. It's $18.99, so obviously he deserves my money and trust. Bye, and stay here. So she basically just hands Dorothy over to strangers, and she's like, here I go.
After the stranger says, here's my electroshock machine, it has a face, say hi to it kind of idea.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's okay.
They meet the doctor, they see the machine, it looks cute.
And
bye.
Yeah, the aunt is really excited to leave her. And so she's just like, see ya, out of here. They leave her, and she's immediately in basically an insane asylum about to do electroshock therapy.
Yeah, the most terrifying nurse ever. She has, like, giant puffy black dress
with sharp shoulders.
Yeah, she's awesome. But she's basically like a style icon throughout the whole movie. But she leads Dorothy to like a little room.
Did you recognize her, by the way?
Yeah, of
course. The actress?
Like from later in the movie?
No, like from another movie.
No, what?
She's like the evil sorceress in Willow. That was the movie she did right after.
Oh, she is!
Yeah.
Totally.
And here's the kind of...
Willow.
Here's the interesting thing.
What?
In both films, she plays this, like, villainess really well, too. She's good
she's
at it.
She's a humanitarian, right?
I watched a making of this, like a just a little brief one, and there's an interview with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like the sweetest, most soft-spoken. She's got blonde hair, not dark hair.
What?
She's sitting and she got a really sweet British accent.
She's British?
Oh, yeah. And she's just, and she talks really old school British too. And she's like, I was just hoping that everybody would come to this film and they would just love it and they'd fall in love. It is shocking.
What?
And that's when I'm like, damn, this woman is an actress's actress. Like she...
What's her name? Do you know it?
Yeah, yeah. I have it written down later on, I think.
Jenny.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Okay. I wrote it down somewhere.
Well, your notes are failing you.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Interesting. I would have definitely thought she was American. So, you know, golf clap to her.
Oh, I didn't write down her name. I don't remember it. Anyway, but you could look it up.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm far too lazy for that nonsense.
So anyway, she's really cool looking, but she's super creepy.
She's evil.
And they hook her up. Well, they put her in a room first and they're just wait here.
Yeah. Hang out here till it gets scary. And bye. And she closes the door, and then a little blonde girl comes in with a pumpkin, obviously.
Oh, that's not creepy.
I would have been horrified. I would be like, a ghost delivered me a pumpkin. And meanwhile, totally. There's like a man like, in the background.
Yeah, there's like lunatics screaming in the background. Mm-hmm. There's a thunderstorm outside because it's the 80s, and every great 80s fantasy
Only
film starts with a thunderstorm. And then here is this like... spirit holding a pumpkin head in front of you talking in your room, in your locked room. Who knows? I was like, what the hell?
But then it goes to a scene of her using her comb to brush the pumpkin.
She's combing the non-hair on a pumpkin.
A pumpkin, and she's combing it.
Somebody gave that direction.
Okay. Not your best work there, Merch.
Okay, so the assistant's name is Miss Wilson, by the way. She comes back, and she grabs her and they strap her down. Mm-hmm. And she's like, why am I being strapped down?
With like some orderlies are there.
Yep.
They have the creaky gurney.
And they wheel her out and they're going to hook her up to the electroshock thing. And mm-hmm. she hears all this screaming. There's even one scene where she says, did I hear somebody scream in there? And they just totally ignore her.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know.
It's really dark.
Words?
And they're about to shock her.
They like put on what is essentially headphones.
That's going to set an electrical signal and make all of this bad stuff go away.
Yes.
And then the storm surges and it blows out everything.
Power outage.
So there's
I would imagine in 1899, like power was a little questionable.
Right.
Considering that we just had a 5-hour power outage.
Just some old dude in the distance cranking a wheel in the storm and being like, doctor, I'm still doing it. So the electricity blows and then the creepy girl shows up and
Blondie.
Is like, let's get out of here. And they start to make their escape.
Well, she's like, what's all the screaming? And the blonde girl's like, oh, it's the damaged patients in the cellar. And then that was enough. Like, Dorothy's like, okay, cool. Let's peace out.
Let's go.
Move along.
And so they split. They run into the storm. And then they run down into this river.
As they're leaving, though, they get spotted by the nurse.
Yeah.
So she chases.
Yep.
And they just take off.
And they fall into this river, which, by the way, in the documentary, she's like, Fruza, as a 9-year-old, is being interviewed, which is so precious.
Aww.
And she said, and I did all my own stunts. And I'm like... This is wrong on so many levels.
Although,
into a raging river.
When she falls into the raging river, like, the blonde girl falls in pretty convincingly, and then Dorothy just jumps in.
Yeah.
Even though it's supposed to, she plays it off like it's supposed to be a fall, but she just adorably jumps in.
Yeah. So she falls in the river with the other girl, and they make their escape. Somehow there's, like, a crib or something.
They get separated.
Yeah.
And then she finds her way, like, she kicks open some... bars of this gigantic crib or something, and she hops into it.
Right. And then once she's in the crib, it floats out into the night.
Into, like, the ocean.
Yeah. Is there an ocean in Kansas?
Obviously.
Okay. Although this shot is amazing with the moon in the background. It reminded me of City Lost Children. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like the alternate cover or whatever. She's floating into the ocean, and then it's the next day.
She's also been separated from the blonde girl.
Right.
Like, they lose each other in the storm.
And she pulls up onto the beach, and she's, like, washed ashore.
Well, she wakes up in the middle of a pond to a chicken clucking.
Oh, yeah. The most sassy. chicken, Bellina.
Yes.
Oh, I love.
So now she's in a crib in a pond with a chicken.
With a sassy chicken.
A sassy chicken.
Do you know who did the voice?
Who?
Same woman that did the junk lady in Labyrinth.
Okay, so have a...
Oh, here's your toy, little bit. Oh, wouldn't you like this?
Perfect. And so the chicken is Bellina,
yes.
The chicken that was from the farm. She somehow is magically here. And she is a real smart aleck. And you know what I envisioned her as from moment one?
Hmm.
As a missing golden girl. Yeah? You see
how
it?
Cool would Golden Girls have been if
with
Bellina would have just
chicken.
Been walking through making comments the whole time? Oh, man.
Yeah. She's just like this sarcastic golden girl of
yeah.
this
so
show.
They, she's pulled up on the shore of the Deadly Desert.
Yeah, like there's like a pond in the Deadly Desert and the water dries up.
And then in the distance, there's like green, like shrubbery
yep.
and forest or
mm-hmm.
whatever. Man, the set design of this is so incredible.
It is really.
Man, I just loved every
it's really
moment
cool.
of it.
There were definitely a lot of artists at work.
And then there's this scene where I guess you can't touch the sand because Bellina's about to jump down.
And Dorothy grabs her.
Yeah, and then hops across these stones. I have to mention, I'm sure you picked up on it. With the braids and the white dress and the mm-hmm. jumping across the stones, it reminded me so much of our short that we did with Aaron. Do you remember the Peel This Onion,
uh-huh.
2007, where she's jumping across the stones and she's got basically the same outfit.
Yeah.
And it's that same like shaky, almost about to fall off the rock style and everything.
Yeah.
It was
so,
crazy.
To be clear, this was a short film we made with my cousin who is an artist. We made it, I don't know, 2007 or something.
Yeah, it was out there.
It was a
there.
Similar move, yes.
Yeah, anyway. Oh, yeah, sorry. It's
that
on DVD.
Way too personal. Way too personal.
Also, this is a good moment to mention the score. The score was done by David Shire, who did quite a few things, but I'm
oh,
not
yes,
sure how
David
I feel
Shire.
About it. It seemed like it couldn't well, figure out what it wanted to be. It
when
was...
she's jumping, it's like, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, beep,
yeah,
boop,
it's
boop.
Really... It, but then later on, when it needs to be serious, it's got some great moments. So mm-hmm. I'm on
it's
the fence.
It's a mixed bag.
I'm not gonna make a claim right away, but I don't think after all these watches and all these years, mm-hmm. I still have decided if I like the score or not.
I feel like I have always been put off by the beep, boop, boop, boops as
but
she's
later,
jumping
it's
rocks.
Like incredible. Then she's moving forward. There's a lot of kind of scenes that we don't need to see. She
well,
discovers the yellow brick road.
Okay, let me give a quick rundown. So they hop across the desert. They land in the forest. They find a lunch pail tree, which is probably the most important scene in this whole movie because, oh my goodness, if there was a tree that just had packed lunches, I can't tell you how much time that would save out of my day. I would plant 5 of those and do nothing else.
How is that? I mean, that's not a stretch from like an apple tree, though.
But it was a full lunch. She had a fully wrapped sandwich in there.
Oh, you're assuming she, like, had all the nutrients she needed in that lunch?
Yes.
It wasn't just, like, Twix, you know, like, pixie sticks and...
She had a sandwich.
Bubblegum.
So, and it was, she said a ham sandwich. Obviously, we're vegan. But I figured if it grew on a tree, does that make it vegan? Probably. Let's not get
decided.
Lost in the detail. So, anyway, they find the snack tree or the lunch pail tree. Then she spots her old farmhouse. And she's like, there was my room.
Yeah. Also, this scene when it reveals the house, I was mm-hmm. like, damn, this set is incredible.
Yeah.
What was the budget on this? And that's when I made
it's
a
like
note.
It's like a full, like, rusted out house. It's, there's no rust. I don't know why I said
I made
that.
I made a note to look up the budget, and I never did.
$1 billion.
$1 trillion is what the exact budget was.
That's a lot more than I thought.
So, and then she finds,
it was a billion.
Outside of the house is where she finds
a
the
ruinous,
rubbled.
Yeah.
Yep, Golden Brick Road.
Golden Brick. Yellow Brick.
Yellow Brick, sorry.
What
yeah,
even?
They were definitely yellow, not gold.
What are you doing? Okay, so it's not gold.
Wow.
A gold brick, she'd put it in her pocket and go back and make cash money out of it.
Okay, well, in my defense, I was looking up something on IMDb while you were talking, so...
You're supposed to be enchanted by my words.
Would you like to know what the budget was?
Yes.
$25 million.
That's a lot in 80s bones.
It is.
It is. I'm going to do a little quick math for you. in 2000's bones, that equals $95 billion. That's so much.
Okay, so she finds the yellow brick road.
Yep.
She starts to follow it.
Follow to the Emerald City, Ovs.
And then this is where we start to get these little cool animated sequences of the rocks spying on her.
Yeah, we actually saw one first when she's hopping across the rocks. Yeah. So it's a bunch of like claymation rock faces.
It's so cool.
And they're like, she's got a chicken. And then disappear. You're welcome.
And we find out that they all work for the Gnome King, who...
we don't meet for a while.
Yeah, but... they're kind of spying on her, mm-hmm. watching her. And then she gets to Emerald City, which is totally in ruins.
It's in ruins, and all of the people are stone.
Yep, they're all in...
stoners, stone.
And then Belina has a little choice statement right here. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
She says, wow, they're not moving very fast, are they? Oh, that wow. Belina.
Way to go.
She's a character.
She's great with the observation.
She's a golden girl, for yeah. sure.
And so somebody has, in spray paint, survived the turning into stone and written in spray paint.
Yeah, it turned into like...
Beware the Wheelers.
Like a cyberpunk movie.
Yes, yeah. Cyberpunk is the word that I was definitely thinking as I watched.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what section. Happened?
Okay, so it says, beware the Wheelers. Oh, also, quick side note, we see... a circle of dancing, like, apparently Grecian women who are all headless.
Yeah, they've all been decapitated.
Yes.
That's family friendly.
Awkward. So, yes. Oh, and we should mention we were watching this with our children, and it was right about this point when I thought, I feel like I was pretty traumatized by this movie.
But this is the second time they've seen it.
I know, but it was, like, fresh for them again.
Yeah.
It's...
especially later on, which we'll get to. I was like,
maybe don't watch this.
Maybe,
with your kids.
Yeah, maybe we should have waited.
It's, I mean, it's rated appropriately, but I don't know. Logan's runs rated PG, so who knows?
Yeah, and also they woke up this morning just fine, so I think the world is still turning.
I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell.
So let's talk about the Wheelers, because this is anybody who's seen this, that's what they're going to remember right away.
It's the Wheelers, and then something else happens.
They are so disturbing.
Scary. Describe them. Why don't you describe them in case people haven't seen them?
Well, you told me that you were going to look into the Wheelers.
I do know about the Wheelers costume.
Okay, well, they look like cyberpunks with long arms and long legs that have wheels at the end.
Uh-huh.
And so they... push themselves around on these four limbs with wheels on the end.
Ugh.
And they're really disturbing, and they say really crazy things. Like, one of the quotes is, "We'll tear you to little pieces."
Which is a very rude thing to tell a 9-year-old.
And it's very
and
aggressive.
Chicken.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they wheel around on, like, four legs. So I think any human, the idea of a human who moves around on four legs is... honestly, like a horror show. If you walked outside our front door and saw a human walking around on four legs, that would be it. You'd call 911 and then like set your house on fire and move to a different state, continent.
Yeah, it would definitely be very disturbing.
So imagine that, but wheels.
Yeah.
And then cyberpunk stuff.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's no cyber. I want to say cyberpunk, but there's nothing like... technological. Are there wires or like
well
tubes?
Cyberpunk denoting the idea of like spray painted like a early 80s I can't explain it. It's like
they've got like lots of electric colors, and then there's like not dreadlocks but like some tubey things. They're kind of like with two drops of the albino twins from the Matrix.
Oh, well, it's kind of like, do you remember that film? Was it with Christopher Lambert? I don't remember. It was called Subway, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It was like very cyberpunk. Yeah. It's that kind of style.
They're just real super creepy with like makeup, and they say things that are evil, and then they are like at the end.
They would have fit in really well to Max Headroom's world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like skating around.
Yeah, so they're terrifying. And so I said to you, don't you dare look into this because I need to figure out their costumes. Because I wanted to know how the heck they got adult men to wheel around. And so I found a picture.
Oh, cool. Of the making of?
It's the costume without the costume. So it's a guy wearing
leggings for some reason with shorts over the top and a t-shirt, wearing the apparatuses to give him wheelie legs. So here, I'm going to hand it to you and you can look at it.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of exactly what I would have expected.
Yeah. We can put it on the Instagram page.
Oh, yeah. True.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. We can.
Go follow us on Instagram. So it's really cool. I don't really know how you would. I feel like they had to train. Take a peek. Like, think about how hard that would be to move as effectively as they do and not wipe out. Because I feel like I would break all four arms.
I think they were.
Nope, not four arms. Two arms, two legs.
Oh, well, what if you broke the other two arms that you have? Okay, so.
You don't want
to. Anyway, we meet the Wheelers. She escapes them, and that's when we meet TikTok.
She goes behind like a stone door.
It's one of my favorite characters. I love TikTok. I think he's great.
He's all dusty. He says he's the only, I guess, Army of Oz. She winds him up. He thinks, and he moves when
he's
well.
He's got a little mustache.
He does.
And a little helmet.
Teal eyes. Obviously.
No, they're like iridescent. They change from like blue to green. They're really beautiful.
Okay. You look deep into those TikTok
eyes. Oh, I love TikTok.
Okay. So TikTok, he's like, let me save you from these Wheelers. I'm the Army of Oz. And then he goes like side to side, walk, whoop, 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 whoop,
he's
side to side.
He's so cute.
He's adorable, but also.
I imagine there's like somebody with a tuba following him being like, boop, 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 boop,
yeah.
Boop, boop, while he walks.
So he goes out there and he rescues, I'm using air quotes, her from the Wheelers.
Yeah, I can verify that.
All he does, though, is he has one of the lunch pails from the lunch pail tree, and he just, his arms spin in a circle. And apparently all the Wheelers can't figure this out and just kind of keep jumping at him until they're all defeated or run away.
Yeah, it was
Wheel
classic.
Away.
Yep, good. And
yep, good.
So they escape the Wheelers.
No, he captures the Wheeler. And the Wheeler says something that I wrote down here. He said, I make a terrible first person, which I thought was a really cool line. So TikTok has one. He's like, we make a terrible first person. And then TikTok convinces him to this one singular Wheeler to take them to the leader. And then
to the queen.
Yeah. And to Mombi. And he tells him to behave, and he's like, yes sir, like as if, and then goes off. And that was kind of a Scooby-Doo voice.
I also saw in that documentary that main Wheeler used to like dress up in stilts and this cute like bunny costume.
What?
And give Frieza Bulk like shoulder rides and stuff just to make her happy on set,
because he was afraid that he had given her night terrors.
Because he gave every other child in the world nightmares.
I don't feel like a bunny suit and stilts would improve
now,
that situation.
I mean, yeah, everything from the 80s
worse.
Is disturbing, but okay, so.
Can you imagine though a man in stilts and a bunny suit coming at you after the Wheelers? That's like horror times five.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
So we then meet Mombi, who is like a queen or a witch or something, like a combination of
She's
both.
She's a witch living in the castle.
Amazing. Nope. Palace.
Palace or castle.
It is amazing. She's like a hipster indie folk babe playing like a mandolin.
Yeah. Oh, she looks so
oh,
cool
she's
in
so
that first
cool.
scene.
Yeah.
I
like,
want to be
damn.
Her friend.
Yep.
And take her style tips and follow her on Instagram.
That chick was a model in a Roxy music video.
Yeah,
she was
sure.
in The Hunger. Like, oh
what?
Yeah, she was super cool.
Cool.
Unfortunately, that's not the Mombi we get. I mean, the other woman did great, but she pops her head off right away.
Yeah, so
switches.
Mombi has a, like, they come in, we got the babe playing the mandolin. And then she's like, okay, follow me, Dorothy. And she takes just Dorothy, leaving Belina and TikTok waiting in another room. And they go down a hall of heads.
There are real heads following them.
Yes.
Watching them.
Another horror that we expose our children
so
to.
Her dress that she's wearing, I picked up on it. That's the Werner Werkstatt, like, Klimt style. It's
yeah.
really cool. And it made me think, remember when we were in Seattle and we saw the costume show of, like, Labyrinth and stuff
yeah.
like that? how cool would it be to see an exhibition of the costumes and stuff from Return to Oz?
Yeah.
Because they were just so awesome.
It's like large metal spiky wings that harken back to the nurse in the original scene, sure, with her big puffy sleeves.
Yeah, which makes sense. But yeah. So she switches her head, puts on the other head, and there we go.
She
now
puts on
every
the
child
head.
Is deeply scarred for life.
Yep.
And we've just lost most of the audience of that were watching this originally in the theaters. Like, they're disturbed. This is not the Wizard of
so
Oz sequel they were hoping for. And it's the one that we all love. She then freaks out, locks up Dorothy, says she's going to want her head,
she's
throws
like,
her upstairs.
She waits for her to ripen. She's like, I'm going to just keep you in the tower till your head's old enough for me to take, because obviously it would be really alarming to put a 9-year-old's head on.
Yeah. And then we, while she's sitting in the room, we meet Jack Pumpkinhead, who is, holy cow, this character is disturbing.
Every single thing about Jack Pumpkinhead is
so
a horror
creepy.
Show.
And he's got a serial killer voice where he's like, hi, can I call you Mom?
Let's describe Jack Pumpkinhead.
Mom?
Don't use Jack Pumpkinhead voice.
Okay.
I still have to be married to you.
I'm going to be like, did you brew some coffee this morning, Mom? Okay.
Don't.
Jack Pumpkinhead is like your nightmares.
Yeah.
He's like straight out of a horror movie. You know who he was run by? You know who was doing the puppetry and all that, though?
Yes, I actually do.
Okay.
I don't mean to steal your thunder. Yeah. But tell our listeners.
Brian Henson, who's Jim Henson's son, who worked on everything, Dark Crystal Labyrinth.
Was Brian Henson, what's his name from Labyrinth? The big nose guy?
Hmm?
I think it was Brian Henson that did, oh, criminy. What's his name? The guy with the big nose?
Hoggle?
Hoggle. It was a Henson who did Hoggle.
Yeah, but so it wasn't Hoggle
Brian.
In the costume. It was that woman, remember? The, like, little
but
short woman.
But the voice of Hoggle was
Yeah,
Henson.
I'm pretty sure that was Brian.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad we spent several minutes figuring
yeah, okay.
that out.
Oh, yeah, another fun fact on this film, uh-huh. The Tin Man is played by, what's his name? Deep Roy, who is...
Deep?
Yeah, Deep Roy, the weird guy from...
D-E-E-P.
Yeah, Deep Roy, the guy from Willy Wonka, from Tim Burton's Willy Wonka, who plays
oh,
all
yeah,
of the
yeah.
guys.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
He is the Tin Man in this, even though he has no
what?
Role. Yeah.
How did... Okay.
Doesn't matter.
I don't see how that works, but okay.
We can move past because Jack Pumpkinhead is your nightmare.
He's got stick arms and clothes and a pumpkin head, and he's a horror show beginning to end. There is never any time where Jack Pumpkinhead isn't deeply disturbing.
Right. And he speaks like a serial killer.
And he asks Dorothy to call her Mom.
Call him Mom. Yes.
No, not call him Mom. Oh, that would
no.
be worse.
Well, maybe.
If he can call
I wouldn't be
her
surprised
mom.
If he did that too.
Blech.
So he talks about how there's this life potion, and then she's like, oh, I've got a plan. They go down to steal this potion from the queen.
From Mombi.
Yeah, which is in her room full of heads. And then here's where we get to easily the most disturbing whole segment of this entire film.
Yes.
Which is she goes down.
Dorothy goes down.
Yep. And she's going to sneak in there. She
sneaks into
in,
the Hall of Heads
opens
to steal
up
the life potion.
31 or something, which is the real head.
The original.
And it's sitting there asleep. And when she goes to grab it, she knocks over something and it opens its eyes, starts screaming something, and then all the heads start screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then we failed to mention that her body is sleeping headless in another room.
Okay, pause here, because the sleeping body was snoring. Last time I checked, you need a nose to snore.
Okay.
This is the kind of detail that they did not pay attention to. Everything else was spot on.
Did she have a head next to her?
No, she was just a headless body.
Snoring.
Snoring.
Okay.
Rewatch it because it makes zero sense.
Maybe she had some Taco Bell and it wasn't snoring. So she stands up while all these heads are screaming. No. While all the heads are screaming. A headless body stands up, and the music is terrifying, and I looked over at our children, and they were both heads down, eyes closed,
yep.
And I myself was a little disturbed by the scene. Well, and I was like, this is a straight up horror movie at this point.
All the heads are going, Dorothy Gale! And like screaming her name as she runs. It's extremely upsetting.
It is a full on horror. It was so scary.
It was a real quick step. Like, Wheelers are scary. This is awful.
Oh, there's a scene right after this where it does a little pan of Oz, like the Emerald City, and it's all in miniature, and it's so cool looking. Did you catch that?
That's not until they leave.
Well, because they're about to leave.
But you hold on. You haven't set it up, because while she is getting the potion, she like the powder, she tells, what is his name, Jack, to get Tick-Tock, who has wound down.
Yeah.
And he and Tick-Tock, build a flying creature for them to escape on.
Really good breath.
Yes. Tick-Tock. Yes. He had some fresh breath to this conversation.
Yeah, Gump is the name
of
his character.
Well, Gump is the creature that's like a moose. They put it on the head of this.
No, they put the head on a couch.
On two couches that they tie together with some palm fronds and expect it to fly them to freedom.
You know what, though?
It works.
Don't dream it, be it. And it works.
So they all jump onto this flying couch with a Gump head and blast out of the castle right as Mombi's about to get him.
Gump is funny.
He's good. After Galena, Balina, he is my favorite.
What does he say when he falls apart? He says, I should have quit while I was ahead. But he says it in his Gump voice.
Yeah.
I should have quit while I was ahead. Oh, he's great. Also, we learn that Ozma is trapped in the mirror, by the way. A little FYI.
Yeah, so we see like a reflection in the mirror at some point, and we don't really know that it's Ozma, but we figured that out as we go. So they fly. Dorothy like instantly falls to sleep. I feel like my adrenaline would be real high after escaping Mombi. But Dorothy's like, cool, gonna catch some Z's. And they fly.
It's like the chick on Monster Dog who falls asleep right in the middle of the action.
Inexplicably, yeah. So then she wakes up and things are not going so well, because they really did a slapdash job on the Gump couch flying contraption.
Yeah, 9-year-old was not a good engineer. So
9-year-old and reanimated or animated scarecrow thing.
Right. Not a scarecrow.
Well, he kind of is a scarecrow, like, but he isn't the scarecrow.
So then they crash onto the island, and it's the Gnome King's island.
It's not an island. It's just on the other side of the Deadly Desert.
Well, and he's pissed. The Gnome King is not happy about them being there.
But in the crash, Balina disappears. We don't see her anymore. So we don't know where she is.
We do. We see her sneaking around.
Yes. So she kind of disappears for all intents and purposes. But the Gnome King makes an earthquake, and they fall into his secret mountain. Meanwhile, Mombi is super upset because she's mostly afraid of the Gnome King. And she harnesses all of the Wheelers into some sort of a chariot.
Oh, it's a Wheeler chariot. That's what I have written down.
Yeah.
It is so disturbing.
And they go, I guess, under the Deadly Desert, except for a few of them die in the Deadly Desert at this point, but whatever. So she's coming, rushing to the aid of the Gnome King, but he's dealing with Dorothy and her crew.
And the animation that's happening during this scene with the Gnome King is amazing.
Yeah,
and
he starts out as like pure claymation.
Yeah, and then he slowly becomes like a full realized three-dimensional person. And
yeah, that was really interesting, the transition.
Cool. And he's talking about how she stole the slippers and all this kind of stuff.
Well, he says, we made all of the gems and jewels, so for you to have ruby slippers means you stole them from me.
And the making, I just was so fascinated by this whole scene because of the stop motion animation, the claymation. I found out that there's a documentary that's been in the works for a long time. It was like a crowdfunding, and it's done, and it's got everybody that was in the film, called Remembering Return to Oz, and it just finished, and I think
really?
It's going to come out. Yeah, I'm so excited to see it, and I'm hoping that they discuss all that. Yeah, so they're in there, they're dealing with looking for the scarecrow, because she wants to get him back.
Yeah, because we'd seen the Tin Woodsman and the lion in, like, as Stone in Oz, but we hadn't seen the Scarecrow. And the Gnome King says that he has the Scarecrow and that he's an ornament in this big room. And then he gives them a challenge that they can bring him back if they can correctly guess which ornament, or, like, knick-knack, essentially, is the Scarecrow.
Within three tries, right?
They get each three tries, and of course they start with poor Gumphead, who has been reassembled into only a singular couch, no wings, and Gumphead. And so everybody else waits outside. And this scene's really cool, too, because there's like a wall, and then these claymation hands mm-hmm. tear open a hole.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
And then the Gumphead walks into it, and then the claymation hands close it up. It's super duper cool.
And while he's doing that, they're all out hanging out, munching on limestone pie.
Limestone pie. And, like, the Gnome King is, like, kind of friendly and entertaining. At one point, or a little earlier, Dorothy cries and he pats her on the back, so you're not sure if he's good or bad.
Yeah, I can't tell. And then, so, after one's gone into the room, and if they fail three times, then they turn into an ornament themselves.
Yes.
And then the next person has to go in, so TikTok is going to be the next. This whole scene...
Jack goes in, too, first.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jack, then TikTok.
I love the Gnome King, by the way. When he starts to, like, come to life,
yeah.
He has the best voice. He's got a great voice.
Yeah.
I also want to say, this dude seems like a fun guy. Okay, he's got a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing, we later find out he's wearing women's slippers.
Oh, in his reveal of those slippers, he, like, kind of fancily flashes
his
feet.
He's wearing the ruby slippers.
Yeah.
And he's, like, full on smoking a bowl. Did you notice that? He's, like, having fun. He pulls out his pipe. And he's, like...
He's from Colorado.
Yeah. Well, he's like laughing it up. He's like, hey, you go in there and die, like become mm-hmm. an ornament. I'm going to wear women's shoes and smoke some pot.
You do you, man.
I like this guy. He's fun.
Gnome King.
He's a fun character. And so then Dorothy has to go in ultimately.
Well, TikTok goes in and then freezes because right. he has wound down. So the Gnome King sends her in. And says, you wind up TikTok and then take your turn when he fails. And then TikTok's made a plan. She pretends, rather poorly, to wind him up.
Oh, she really takes that cue
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, she like waves her hand above him.
Well, she's like really cranking in the background the whole time and doesn't stop. I'm like, okay, Farooza, like, we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she's in there now and she has to decide what... ornament is the Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
And she, meanwhile, the queen arrives and is super pissed. And we find out
Mombi.
That the queen, Mombi, and the Gnome King have some serious drama and baggage between them. And
yeah.
I'm like, don't
he's
care.
He's like, bow. And then he's like, lower, lower. And then she's laying on the ground. He's like, lower.
And then puts her in a cage.
But her spikes are sticking out of the cage, which is kind of cool.
So Dorothy is in there looking around. She fails twice, and
yes.
she's on her third term. And she does what any 9-year-old would do.
Closes
her eyes and spins in a circle
mm-hmm.
and, like, pin the tail on the donkey.
Let's the force guide her.
Yeah, and except it guides her to something, and she's like, yep, yeah, I don't like that one. And then chooses the most obvious mm-hmm. ornament in the entire room.
An actual emerald.
Like, okay, well,
wow,
genius move, yeah. And so she picks it, says mm-hmm. it, turns out to be the Scarecrow, who is a little disturbing.
Yeah, he hops out, and he's got, like, bag face, and it's kind of like Scarecrow from the horror movie, The Scarecrow, honestly.
It's pretty disturbing. By the way, that Scarecrow is played by a guy. This is his actual name. First name Justin, last name Case. Justin Case.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, he's got to be a mime or a juggler or something.
Gosh.
I couldn't figure out what he was.
I love it.
But that's his name.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so
that's
she
the coolest name ever.
Finds out, they find out together that all the green ornaments are their friends.
That they're all from the Emerald City.
Yeah. And then she starts bringing them all back, and the Gnome King is losing his power.
He's very uncool
at
this point.
He is so uncool about this now. He set his pipe down, mm-hmm. and he is. He, at one point, then grows to this, like, large creature.
It's Roid Rage.
And he says, I'm tired of games. And he picks up Gump and eats his body. And I'm like, damn, I really still like this character a lot.
Yeah.
He's cool.
It's not cool he's to cool. eat Gump.
And he's pretty...
He's Gump. He's in my
I thought that too, yeah. Then he picks up Jack and he's like, okay, now you're next. And he's leaning over. Jack's got a little surprise in his head. Saucy old Belina has been hanging out by herself and...
She
basically it's the equivalent of like pooping your pants in front of your friends. She like lays an egg.
Yep.
The egg falls down the Gnome King's throat and everybody starts chanting poison.
All of the gnomes who are claymation, they're like, poison,
poison, poison.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh yeah, an egg's poison. Of course, everybody knows that.
I have to cough because my poison.
Yeah. Because it was such dramatic performance. And then it kills him. Dorothy mm-hmm. puts on the slippers, which leads me to a question. I have a question.
I have answers.
Okay.
So many.
Does the Gnome King have the same shoe size as a 9-year-old girl?
I assumed that they just kind of magically fit whatever foot.
Okay, if was... not, well, there's something. Oz is restored.
If so, the question is, does she have normal 9-year-old feet, or does...
Does she have Gnome King feet? To be determined.
Chicken or the egg?
It'll be covered in the documentary.
Belina or Jack?
So Oz is restored. Then there's a parade. Like, this is the only moment where it's like classic Wizard of Oz. This feels like when the Emerald City is restored.
Yeah.
They're parading the witch around in a cage, which I was
like... She just stayed in her cage.
Like you do.
There is no toilet in that cage, and clearly some time has passed, so I'm very sad for her.
Sure.
She looks not happy.
Well, you know what?
There's a
That's
little...
That's the way the universe works.
Little pile under her long dress.
We see the lion, who is... was of no help.
Cowardly lion.
Yeah, useless. Also, there's a major diss because the Tin Man's in the crowd, too, and she doesn't even acknowledge him.
Yeah.
She's not like, Tin Man, Tin Man, I miss you so much.
Nope.
At all, even when she's saying her goodbyes, she doesn't even acknowledge the Tin Man. I'm like, dang. So they are all chanting for her to be queen, mm-hmm. and she's like, thanks, no thanks.
She says, I wish I could be in two places at once.
Could if I would, but I can't, so I won't. And then
Audi
for sure.
Good
and
luck.
Then Ozma is like, wait, did you just say you're out? And creeps out of nowhere to reclaim the
throne.
Well,
it's like a whole scene. Calm down.
Is it Ozma though, or is it the childlike empress? That's what I'm going to
yes!
ask you.
I totally, because it's that flat affect where she's just like not smiling. She's just like, I feel neutrally about this.
And I have a little trinket on my forehead.
Wait, which came first?
Oh, Neverending Story. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of the same situation, but they like touch hands through the mirror and finally Ozma can come out of the mirror.
Oh yeah, it's a whole Stargate scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and we also see all of the heads restored on the various people.
Right, because she had removed all the heads for
yes.
her own. Okay. And then she's good to go. Dorothy goes home. It's like a little bow is tied.
Mm-hmm. The new farmhouse has been finished. Toto finds her. Like, we should say here that outside of the, like, I don't know, electrocuting brain place, they being her Aunt Em and her uncle, whatever, and Toto find her, gather her up and take her home.
Okay.
And no, what?
I just, Lord of the Dogs, I have something to tell you that I've been waiting.
What?
And it's like
you're
when you have
like
a,
giggling
it's
quietly.
When you have a big, big secret. This is the best part of all.
Okay.
Okay, let me make sure we're still recording because I don't want to miss your reaction.
I feel uncomfortable.
Here's a fun fact.
Okay.
Toto has an IMDb credit.
What?
His name is Tansy.
Oh.
And Tansy, this is the only film he ever did. And if you click on his IMDb page, there's a biography and it says...
he's still alive.
It says, Tansy is an actor known for Return to Oz.
What?
I love the internet.
Oh, he's so cute. Although, did you see when Tansy finds her and then her uncle comes and they're embracing? Tansy Toto jumps and her uncle, the guy who plays her uncle, like uses his elbow because Tansy's trying to bite his hat.
Where they hid the treats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the uncle builds a nice house after all that.
Yeah. So back to the story. The house has been completed in her absence, apparently one night while she was lost at the electrocution center.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It's just like next day. Here's
well, it's
your
because
bedroom.
Auntie M was nagging. She was like, well, he's yeah, pretending to be hurt.
He broke his leg, monster girl.
So they must have had a talk. She was like, look, she's gone at the shock therapy. You house, better build that damn house.
It's only 40% done. Finish it by morning. Bye. Yeah.
Okay. So, and he did.
Where were they sleeping?
In the other house.
Chicken coop. No, the other house was in Oz.
No.
Chicken coop.
It was like, okay, barn, yeah, it was a chicken coop.
Carriage. Beaver den.
Then we get this little post-log scene, which is deeply disturbing, where we find out the Empress at any time,
Ozma,
can peer into a mirror and see Dorothy.
Oh my gosh. It's like, dude, Bloody Mary.
It's like awkward teen years. Am I right?
Oh my gosh. Like, imagine you're going to like pop your big first zit and then Ozma's like, oh, bad timing.
Sure. Or you're just...
No.
Okay.
No.
Just saying.
There's a lot of awkward things you could be doing.
Anyway, well... That's the end of Return to Oz. It's a good one. It's a great one.
So if you haven't seen it, you should go back in time and watch it and be traumatized by the Wheelers and Mombi.
It's so good. It is such a good film. To everybody who has been rating, reviewing, supporting, wow. I mean, we are so thrilled. It's been gaining steam and we're so excited that you guys even
Thank
care.
You.
And we're having so much fun. Please continue to rate it, because it helps us kind of move
it
up.
Helps
oh,
a lot.
We're on Spotify now too.
Spotify, Podbean, and
iTunes, and then you can find us on Instagram at Laser Graves. You can find me at EK Wimmer on Instagram, and
you can find the Lord of the Dogs at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
You should change it to Lord of the Dogs. And that's about it. I can't think of anything else, but thanks. I hope you guys enjoyed this, because this was fun.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah. And never mind. I don't have anything witty to
no,
say.
No, say it quick. Think of something witty. Go.
Gump. Gump.
No, that was the worst way to end this.
Okay. Sorry, Mom.